Hello, welcome to the latest episode of the Fuck Off Everton podcast with me, Nathan O'Hagan.
And me, Bill Cummings.
It's been a while since we last recorded a pod. We're going back to early March, but a lot's happened since then, not least in the last 9 or 10 days or so, but can't really start anywhere other than last night's derby. Incredible result, far more than we expected. But how are you feeling about it now?
Just unbelievable. I think it's unbelievable. And I don't know, I just felt weirdly calm about it. And maybe it's because of the Forest win.
Mm.
Because that was like, we sort of built that up, hadn't we?
Yeah.
At being the key game, you know. And so this one, I know it's a derby, but it almost felt like, it didn't feel like the pressure was there. And obviously the pressure was all on them.
Yeah.
But we still had to turn up, and we did turn up, and everyone turned up. And it was a special night, really, wasn't it? And that is why... I don't know about you, but that is why, you know, not the only reason, this family and all sorts of other reasons, but like when we win games like that and the spirit of the crowd and the team and everything, that is why you support Everton, really, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing like it. And I know what you mean about feeling calm, because, I mean, it's a sort of pressing thing, but, you know, we become accustomed to losing derbies, often losing them, you know, with complete... capitulation. So we'd even said, like, in the days building up to it, we don't expect anything from it, we just don't want to get hammered. And we take a point, but it just felt different right from the start. Like, the crowds were absolutely on it, and the team were, you know, the setup was clearly right from the start. The mentality was fantastic, and within a few minutes I was thinking, this isn't going to be, you know, the kind of capitulations we've often seen, you know, even at home, going down to, you know, 4-1s, 5-2s, you know, absolute humblings. It clearly wasn't going to be that. And when we had them under pressure, like Tom just, you know, bullying the back two, you know, the two centre-backs, absolutely in control, you did start to think, well, if we can get a goal, then this could be a very different derby than we've had in, you know, for the majority of recent years. Obviously, yeah. Scoring goals has been the problem. But once we got that, it just felt like it was going to happen, other than that sort of 5-minute, 10-minute period in the first half when I did think, you know, we're not going to keep them out for 90 minutes. Second half, I felt like we were in control.
Yeah, so solid. Just really worked hard. The whole midfield, the defence, oh, Braithwaite, Tarkowski, amazing.
Yeah.
But just everyone put a shift in, even Harrison. Harrison was working his arse off. I was listening to something before he won, like, an amazing amount of aerial duels, even, you know, yeah. Harrison. So I think they really, really put a shift in, didn't they? They, like, overperformed. And it takes you back a bit to, like, the 90s, you know, when we used to play like that. We used to out-battle them. We used to do that. But, you know, as time goes on, game changes, you can't put your foot in anymore. VAR, 5 subs, blah, blah. Anyway, Dyche got it spot on, you know. As much as I criticised him, in games like this, and especially games where we're not going to have the ball, he sets us up so well. And then if the players perform as well, like they did, then we've got a real chance. And I did think, the more people were saying, oh, we're going to get smashed and this, that and the other, I did think to myself, well, actually, in recent derbies, we haven't got smashed. We've been drawing a lot of them. The Cody one, we were, you know, toenail away from winning that one. But, yeah, considering our recent form and considering everything, Liverpool are just, you know, obviously light years ahead of us in terms of a team superior. And a squad.
Yeah.
But on a one-off, any given night, as they say, we turned up and we beat them, you know. We beat them properly. Every single player,
yeah. I mean, yeah. Idrissa was just magnificent. You know,
he's been great.
You know, he's had his injuries at times this season, but he's generally been very, very good. But, like, in a couple of games in particular, you know, you would not guess he's, what is he, 33, 34?
We've got to sign him up. We've got
the
to
yards
get him.
Covered. Yeah.
We've got to keep him.
Yeah.
Because I was watching something else. I think it was Toffee TV. They were saying, we can't let him leave again because he replaced himself last
time. Yeah.
thought that was a brilliant quote. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he was fantastic. And I thought I was so made up for Dom because he's endured such a terrible season. You know, he's had awful injuries over the past couple of seasons.
Oh, three seasons.
This season, yeah. And this season he's finally, for the most part, got over his injury concerns. But then, you know, he's had the terrible run without scoring. But now he's got three and five? All, you know, crucial goals as well, like really important goals. And he was just magnificent. You know, it was a classic Everton number nine performance. You know, holding the ball up superbly, bullying defenders, and then getting his goal as well, because he's done the first part often without getting the goal, but he managed to get the goal in a crucial one. And he's another one who, you know, people are asking questions about his long-term future with his track record and everything entering the last year of his contract. I think after a display like that, if he can maintain that, you know, then he should also be getting signed up to a longer-term contract as well, because when he's fit and when he's confident, he's still a really good centre forward.
When he plays like that, he's unplayable.
Yeah.
He's just so good in the air. Good in the air. And he scared them both as well. And also, not just in the air, but he was really nicking onto things. And
he
won a lot of free kicks and he relieved a lot of pressure. He was immense. He was a colossus. Yeah. And that goal as well. You know, to me, it's the Dominic Calvert-Lewin derby, because he just... You know, that goal is just like iconic, you know, because he goes down in the annals of, you know, Dixie Dean, Ferguson, etc. Yeah. You know, sure. With a goal like that, a goal like that in a derby, just incredible, you know, and also the fact that, you know, that might be our last night derby, you know, at Goodison. So, and Goodison, you know, it's just a special place when you play like that and when the fans are like that. And to be fair, the 1878, is it, have done brilliant with the flags and getting the fans motivated, even in a run of like 1-15, win in 15, and, you know, losing that Chelsea match was a horror show, and all of these things, they have motivated people to the fan base to carry on, to keep the faith. And and the two big wins are just like, you know, being rewarded for that, aren't they, really?
Yeah, well, as you're saying, you know, we sort of have to allude to what's gone on, the sort of the 9 days before last night. Obviously, it was a massive night, but this season has maybe turned on what was an awful defeat at Chelsea, because that's forced them all, including Dyche, as he said, you know, to look at himself as well as the players look at themselves. And there's been a lot of sort of squad meetings back and forth, feedback both ways. And it's obviously worked, hasn't it? Because we've got two crucial wins. I mean, the Forest win, you know, was less spectacular. You know, it was more about sort of getting the job done.
We still fully deserved it, though.
But absolutely, yeah. Regardless of, you know, penalty claims or whatever, you know, we deserved to win. There's no two ways about it. We were the better team. And that was the one we really had to win, if you're looking at the sort of few fixtures we've got around this time, you know, to either side of where we're talking now. That was one we absolutely had to win. And if we hadn't, then we would have been a bit worried. There would have been a lot more to play for, but that one has really turned it. And again, you know, the game plan was right. It worked. You know, we frustrated them and did what needed to be done. And I'd say, I mean, we're not safe mathematically.
Lots one of people, hand on so it, we one are, hand on it, one hand, you know, on it, I'd say.
Or by all logic and reason, you know, it would take a massive sort of collapse from us and a massive surge from Luton to send us down now.
Oh, I think we need one win, and I think we're all right.
Yeah.
I'll be 36 points. I just can't see Luton getting that 36 points.
No, I mean, I think 35 would be probably mathematically safe, but, I mean, even 33 might be enough, but obviously we don't want to stop there.
No. Yeah, you don't want to be complacent, but I think those two wins, I think that's a large part of the way there. There's the finishing the job, of course, but...
Yeah.
I think, 30, like you said, 35... Because I was thinking about 35, I was thinking 35 would be enough.
That's been enough the last few seasons, and obviously it's a very low point scoring season.
I think it's between Luton and Forest now.
Yeah, I still think it'll be Luton, to be honest, but, you know...
Yeah, I do as well.
Can't really give a shit, to be honest, as long as we're... so, you know, that's between them, isn't it, you know?
What well, be, yeah, we were worried we was going to go... Well, you know, Obviously not counting your chickens because we still need a result or two, but it's just like, you know, it does take that pressure off that Luton away game, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which was the one we were worried about, because it's like, if you get down to that and you lose that and then you go to Arsenal away, you know, last day of the season.
God,
But you want to, But really, by rights, like you said, we should be on, what is it?
41 points now.
1 point, yeah. We should be like 40, around there.
14th would be, but, you know, you factor in also, I mean, this is sort of sort of guessing, but if we'd not had those 8 points taken off us, we probably wouldn't have had the god-awful run that we were on. You know, within that, you probably would have had a win or two as well.
I think so.
Without the mental strain of what we were going through, you know, we'd probably be thinking more like, you know, safe in 10th or whatever. But even so, you know, it is what it is at the moment. We don't know
if we're
taking back on the appeal or not.
But I think you have to give credit to Dyche as well for, especially because I think the Chelsea away game, I think he got tactically wrong. Like, we pressed too much. It reminded me a bit of, like, games under Lampard where we pressed and then we got played around, like, against Spurs and against Palace and things like that, when we got really well beaten. And then, and on top of that, I think he changed the midfield, which I think was a huge thing. Because we had Garner and Onana, wasn't it, at Chelsea?
And they were both awful.
Yes. And I think bringing back Gomez and Garner was just huge against Forest, because they kept the ball better. They controlled the midfield. The midfield is where it was won, really.
Yeah.
I think that was a huge, and you have to give Dyche a lot of credit for that, you know, because I've been saying, and also it wasn't just that. I think also he changed the position of Doucouré. Doucouré was dropping back in more. It was more of a 4-5-1 than what we've been seeing, which was more of a 4-1-1-1, you know, 4-4-1-1 or a 4-4-2, you know. But he changed that. He recognised that we needed more help in midfield. And that's just all I've been asking for is from Dyche, is just small little tactical tweaks. Because obviously we haven't got the best squad. The circumstances around everything with the deduction, the takeover, all shit. He's done really well to deal with all that. But I just wanted to see little tactical things that could change our season. I think he's done it. So I have to give him a lot of credit. I think I wouldn't say he deserves a new contract, but...
Yeah,
well, next season for sure. I think
probably wanted to discuss, like, you know, once we're definitely safe and we get towards the end of the season. But I think with the Chelsea game, as much as last night, you know, everything came together, tactics, the players applying it on the pitch. You know, Chelsea was the opposite.
Yes.
You know, the tactics weren't. Yeah, we probably shouldn't have been playing so open, but then also, pretty much every single player on the pitch was appalling. So they couldn't, you know, balance out the deficiencies in what we were doing, because everyone had probably their worst game ever for us. Now, even Brandwaite was terrible against Chelsea. That was a perfect shitstorm, you know, everything going wrong, tactics, the players, performances, it was all terrible. Whereas last night, the players got everything right. Obviously, the tactics were right, but the players ultimately had to go and apply those tactics, and each one of them did last night, you know, perfectly. It's just the contrast between the two is it's quite incredible, isn't it, in the space of just 9 days, how the season's turned and how the performance of the players has turned.
Yeah, and Dyche seems to do this because it happened after the deduction as well. We went on this, you know, like 4-game winning streak. Is there a... I think also there's an element of he did, like I said, he did recognise that he'd made a mistake, set the setup, and also, like you said, the players hadn't delivered. And also, I think that Forest game was just such a huge boost to us, because to lose a game 6-0 away at this stage of the season, when we've been sinking a little bit, it was a real blow. But to then come back and win against Forest, who were, you know, right next to us in the table, we both had points deducted, do you know what I mean? It was a real big one. And to win that one was just huge. And I just felt like, for some reason, I just had this real calm about last night. And then for us to go and win it, it's just like, wow. What a, you know, because I just want... I've always felt like with derbies, it's like I was nervous. Like, even because I knew, like, you just had that nasty feeling that you're going to get beaten in some, like, weird way. If you're not going to get smashed, you're going to get, like, some kind of, you know, error. But they all stood up last night. And that just, like, you know... we don't have the best squad. We don't have the best players, but we've got, like, you know, if they all stand up, they can, you know, we can beat anyone at home.
Yeah, well, anyone should be able to beat anyone at home on any given night.
Exactly, yeah.
I think, like, with recent derbies, like, you know, going back to the last sort of, when I say recent, within the context of being a middle-aged bloke, you know, but going back the last sort of 15 years or so, there's one of two things tend to happen in derbies. We either completely collapse, you know, we turn up looking shit scared, or we go the other way and we're too aggressive and we end up getting players sent off. I mean, the amount of players we've had sent off in derbies in recent years is ridiculous, but we didn't do either of those last night. You know, the fight was there, but controlled and tactical, not just going all guns blazing, you know, going in hard and heavy when needed to, you know, dropping off when needed to, but, you know, not wilting mentally as we have done under various managers, you know, from going back to Moyes and through everyone else we've had since. We didn't do the two things that have cost us derbies in recent years. You know, the mentality and the controlled aggression was spot on, exactly what you need in a derby.
Maybe there's also an element of, in the past, it's been our biggest game and there's a lot of pressure on that big game, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Whereas this time, it's not to say it's not a big game, but because of the overall situation with the club, the big games are the teams playing, you know what I mean? We're playing around us usually.
Yeah. That's the reality of where we are, yeah.
Yeah, so
we were saying, you've got to be realistic.
Took that little bit of pressure off, I felt like.
Yeah.
But obviously, it's still a derby, and it's still, you want to win it.
Yeah, it matters.
It's obviously funny because, like, Carragher was going on about, "Oh, we've overachieved this season and all this bollocks."
Yeah, he's changed his tune, hasn't he?
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, but they were being very magnanimous about it. But it's like, well, actually, no, we've actually played a part in, like, stopping you winning the league, which is just. Yeah. I don't think they would have won the league anyway. But it's just like, it's quite sweet, really.
Yeah, it just adds an extra little layer, you know, without being too much of a, you know, bitter blue.
It
does add a little bit more spice to it, doesn't it?
I'm not bothered what they do anymore. I just, you know, made my peace with it. They're just such a, you know, they've been such a great team, you know, so with Klopp in there. So,
yeah.
But that era is coming to an end, you know, so it was nice to get one over on him before he left, really. And before he left Goodison, you know, because it's been so long, 2010, you know, it's like, God.
I hadn't realised until watching last night that was how long it had been at home. I know, you know, away up until Ancelotti, the lockdown win, that had been ridiculously long time, but I didn't realise it had been that long since we'd won at home.
Yeah, I didn't realise it was 14 years. I knew it was a long time.
ridiculous.
Well, it is, really. And we've had so many chances in recent years, really. We've had quite a few nil-nils, 1-1s, you know, where we've, you know, had chances to win it.
Unlucky at times, you know, late, you know, equalisers or late winning goals, that kind of thing, yeah.
And we have shown fight in the recent home derbies, I do think that. I mean, there's not many where they've just come and taken us apart recently. I can't think of. Maybe one or two, but
the Marco Silva one would be the last one where they've just absolutely dismantled us. I mean, that was just horrendous, the 5-2.
Was when Rafa was the manager?
Yeah, that was a 4-1 as well. That was another.
Was it at home?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Those were bad ones. But then we were in a bad place, so.
We were. As we still are, but, you know, results like that, you know, the team and the manager are doing all they can. Broader issue to look at, yeah. But also, special mention for the two left backs on the night. I mean, Maiko. That injury, you know, it looked fucking horrific when he went down. Like, it didn't show it at first because it looked so bad. And I thought it must mean, like, it's a break or something. But when he was back up and, you know, limping around, they showed it. And it was an awful twist or, like, you know, sprain going over on his ankle. And I thought, there's no way he's coming back on. But to have come back on for those last sort of few minutes of the first half just shows his mentality as well. And then, obviously, he had to come off at half-time. There's no way he was going to come back on. And everyone on Twitch and everything said, oh, fucking hell, Ashley Young had left back. Yeah, but he was brilliant.
He was good against Forest. He was decent, though, wasn't he? He was, to be fair to him.
Those three incidents aside, well, you know, the one, I suppose, the one dodgy one. But he was brilliant last night. You know, he came in and did his job really well. And obviously, he'll probably be playing there on Saturday. And if he plays like that, don't think anyone will have a problem with him being there.
I've got to be honest, I think that whole penalty thing was blown way over proportion. I mean, I think one of them was a penalty. I think one of them was so close to him, where did he put his arm? And one of them, the player threw himself over. It would have been very soft.
There's no way the first one was. The first one would have been a laughable penalty. The second one, I expected to be given, just because you've seen so many given, but it would have been fucking stupid.
They've changed the rule on it, though. I think at the beginning of the season it would have been given, but they've sort of made it more like where they take into account, you know, where the arm is, where the player is. Because he sort of jumped into it, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like, what do you do with your arms? You can't do anything. He even tried to put his arms behind his back, and he touched the ball. I just don't think it's a penalty myself, but I know what you mean. They have been given.
Yeah, no, I don't think it should have been. I just thought it was going to be, you know, knowing the ones we've had against us this season, but it shouldn't have been, absolutely. The third one, arguably.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't get the ball, but then, yeah, they both went for it, didn't they? It was kind of like,
yeah.
If it probably was a penalty, but, like, it would have been soft, like, almost, because he...
Yeah.
They were both going, it was almost like a 50-50, you know.
Yeah. But, I mean, the argument that you saw from a lot of, like, Forest fans or, you know, pundits or whatever is that, you know, you've got to have, if you've got three claims, you've got to get one of them. It doesn't work like that. It's not accumulative. You know, each one just has to be judged on its own merit. So if all three aren't penalties, then all three aren't penalties. Exactly. It's not like, oh, that, you didn't get the last one, so, you know, we're sort of tallying up the percentage of penalty that you should be getting, and we'll give you the next one if it's a decent shout. That's not how it works, you know. If it's not a penalty, then it's not a penalty. If the ref,
if it worked like that, we'd be getting 20 penalties a season.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
And we've had two.
Yeah.
And yeah, they have. And Wolves have as well.
Yeah. I think Forest have only had one penalty as well, you know. Nice. And they've had some really bad decisions against them, as have we. But, you know, their heads have just gone over that, you know.
And also, I think the main thing was they just weren't good enough to win the game, you know. Well, that annoyed me a little bit, because we've waited so long for a big win like that at home. Obviously the Burnley one, but this one felt different because it was against the direct rival, and we beat them, and we deserved to beat them, you know.
Yeah.
It was that, and I just felt like, oh, that whole penalty business just took away from it. Took away from it, but it's like, it's all people were talking about. It's like, well, actually, the main thing was we were the better team. That was the main thing.
We should definitely win. Yeah.
Exactly. It did frustrate me a little bit. I'm not saying don't talk about it, but it's just like the level it was at.
Yeah.
I know it was because their chairman got the Twitter login and was tweeting all sorts about people being Luton fans and stuff. That makes any difference. But
tweeting like Trump.
Yeah. I don't know with Forest. I think they should be thankful that they only got, 4 points sticking off them? I think they should be thankful, to be honest.
Yeah. I think they got away with it a little bit.
They would have been down, I think, if they'd have got the full whack they should have got.
Yeah.
I think they'll stay up, like you. Because I think they got enough attacking quality. But like I was saying to you, I don't think they're very good away from home. So that was kind of why I thought we had a chance, you know.
Yeah. But it doesn't help them, does it? You know, if they're fighting for survival, it doesn't help the manager and the players if the owner's going absolutely off his tits on Twitter.
No, and it's opened a can of worms, hasn't it? You saw it with the Liverpool, you know, requesting the audio and all of that. I understand in that case it was a big thing, but it's, and Spurs have done it as well. It's and Arsenal, but it's like opening a can of worms where the club is actually exerting pressure on a match officials. And
yeah,
I don't know. I think that's wrong. I think you can question, but I just think use it. It's almost like, oh, we demand an explanation and all of this. It's like, I don't know.
There's channels through which to do these things. You know, exactly. You don't do it on your public official club Twitter account. Go through the right channels if you want to raise an issue or whatever.
Exactly. I mean, look at the Man City one, the famous one we had.
Yeah.
We had an apology, didn't we? I mean, I'm not saying that means anything, but...
No.
It's better to do it like... I'm not saying the manager can't, you know, and the club can't question decisions, of course. And VAR as a system, we've talked about it a lot, you know, it's inconsistent and it doesn't always work. And the refereeing is inconsistent in the Premier League, definitely. And there's biases that you wonder, you know. But maybe subconscious biases rather than, you know, full-on Luton kit wearing Vars. Yes. But, you know, there are questions to be asked, but I just think it's the manner and the way. It feels like a different era, doesn't it, of whole clubs like putting pressure on VAR and the referees over individual decisions, where you just never used to get that, did you, really?
No.
You get questions of it, obviously. And like you said, they go through the channels. But it just seems like it's become this big thing now. If there's a supposed outrage. But then it's only certain clubs. I mean, we've had terrible decisions go against us.
Yeah.
Look at that Fulham one. Did anyone care apart from our fan base? Nobody.
No mention.
But maybe that's why Forest have done it, because they want to. I mean, they've even got, like, their own referee advisor. I mean,
it's just fucking ludicrous, isn't it?
It's taken it to... That's what I mean, where it's opened a can of worms, where it's taken it to the nth degree, where you could imagine that, like, you could even go to, like, court over, you know, oh, you didn't give us this, and you didn't give us that, and we've gone down because of it. You know what I mean?
It's like
the old PSR thing as well. It's like opening, a can of worms where football can be decided in courtrooms and in media opinion, you know, it's a dangerous, slippery slope, you know.
It is. But, I mean, let them lose their heads, you know. We've probably done what we need to do now, and if they're going to act like Berks on Twitter, it's only going to harm them and help us, ultimately.
I usually quite like Forest as well, because they are, you know, they've got a history as a club. Got a few mates who are Forest fans and stuff. They're a good club. It's just their owner's a bit nuts, isn't he? That's what it is.
Like you said, he's like Mashiri, but with money and access to the Twitter account.
Yeah, we don't want to give Mashiri access. Although it seems like he doesn't care anymore, so...
No, he wouldn't use it.
I think all he wants to do is sell the club to his preferred bidder, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Whether they can afford it or not, which is mad as well.
Looking forward to Saturday. I mean, a win, obviously, puts us... mathematically safe, I think, depending on other results. It could be mathematically over by Saturday. But I'm just wondering, like, the level of energy and exertion last night, plus on Sunday against Forest, you know, will some changes be necessary? I imagine Dom might need a rest, because he was touch and go for last night, played almost a full game. Mm-hmm. So I do wonder if there might be some necessary changes, or whether he'll just, you know, wring what he can out of that sort of starting 11, or, you know, Mikalenko aside, where he'll say, you go again for as much as you can, try and get the game won. But what would you do?
I think Gomez will come back in, won't he? Probably. That's what I think. Gomez will come back. I'm not saying James Garner didn't have a good game and he's got the legs, but I just think Gomez gives you that element of control against teams who are going to... I don't think Brentford will sit in, but they're a counter-attacking team, so you want to keep the ball a bit better.
Yeah, you'd expect to have more of the ball than we did last night, so yeah.
That's right.
That might be
he's fresher. Obviously, Mikalenko's out, so you'll probably have Young-in. I mean, there's no other choices, is there, really? Unless you switch Godfrey to left-back and you have Young at right-back, I don't know.
Well, it worked well the other way last night, so
I don't know.
Or you'll stick with it.
Either or, there's no other choices there, really. I don't know, they talked about Chambers might be... But
yeah,
I don't know, I think it'd be a lot to chuck him in, though, mightn't it?
Really? Yeah.
I think it'll just be what it was, like you said. Midfield, I mean, I keep wanting to see Dan Juma, but I just don't... I don't think you trust him, and he hasn't had a minute, has he, since he's come back? So,
no.
Can't see it. Maybe he'll come off the bench. We might need a bit of that, because, you know, we're going to have the Luton game. We might need a bit of pace on the break. So, and also, just in terms of the workload, isn't it, of Harrison and McNeil, really?
Yeah, how much more can you get out of them?
Would you consider maybe, this is an option, maybe having, I know it didn't, it's one of them, would you consider maybe having Garner on the right, just to rest Harrison in a way?
Harrison's looked better since he had a couple of games on the bench, and the last couple of games he's looked a bit sharper, so I think he'll probably
go again.
Continue with him.
What about Doucouré, would you?
I thought he did okay last night in terms of his work rate. It's, you know, on the ball, he's still... not the best. Although, to be fair, in the second half, he did have some good moments where he was sort of getting away on the break and things. But I think, yeah, maybe he'll persevere with him.
Probably. And then he has to be Chimiti, doesn't it?
Well, if Dom can't...
Or Dan Juma.
...can't start, then, yeah, I think it'd have to be Chimiti, because you need someone who can actually hold the ball up a little bit. And got when he's come off the bench the last couple of games, you know, he's looked a bit... I know he's only had very short bursts on the pitch, but he's looked quite lively. So I think if Dom isn't fit to do the 90, then it'll just be Chimiti.
It'd be nice to see him as well a bit more, because obviously he might play more next season, so...
Yeah.
It doesn't look like he's going to go out on loan or anything like that. So it's obviously he's being developed in the first team, really, like Dom was himself. Remember when Dom played on the wing and all these kind of different positions?
Right wing back for Koeman.
Could Chimiti play on a wing? I don't know. Maybe
I don't think so, no. I
don't think Dyche is somebody who will experiment with that anyway, is he, really? So fair enough.
He wouldn't be the type of forward you could put on the wing. I mean, he's a striker, you know. He's not...
No, like unless you were playing like a proper... front three, you know.
Yeah.
We're all like, you know, like a Liverpool front three, but they're all just basically forwards, basically. But no, that's probably the most changes you're going to see, because we haven't got a big squad. We haven't, there's a few injuries as well, so. But Brentford had a really good result, didn't they?
They've had a few good results. I mean, they're a good side, aren't they? You know, they've struggled times this season, particularly when they haven't had Tony, but I mean, they didn't have Tony at the weekend, and they... had a very convincing win, so it's certainly not going to be an easy one. Obviously, the pressure's off, so we should
be able
to go. They've
got people like Wissa and...
Bueno.
And Bueno, struggle to say his name.
Really good forwards, like.
They've got some really good players, actually, Bradford.
Yeah, underrated players as well. They're not, like, sort of massive names, but, you know, whenever you see them play, they always look really good. They've all got goals in them. So they won't be an easy win, far from it, but...
And Luton go to West Ham, don't they?
Yeah, maybe Moyes will do us a favour there as well.
Yeah, and West Ham need a win because they've had a few bad results, so maybe they, you know, and also it might be, I've heard rumours, it might be, you know, Moyes has only got a few more games left there, so
possibly he's going to sign an extension or be offered one or whatever. I think he'll be gone at the end of the season.
Yeah, so he'll need a win. Hopefully,
it could be settled this weekend, you know, if certain results go for us and we get a win.
I can't see Luton getting enough to even get where we are now. But I'm not saying we're safe, because you can't take it for granted. We still need another couple of results, I think. But I just can't say. Luton, that big one was the Brentford home one. They had to win that, you know.
Yeah.
And that's a real dagger, that one. That's a real dagger. And then they had to hope that we didn't win and beat us then at home and pull us back into it. But now it's between them and Forest. I mean, they could, you know, but I don't know. I haven't looked at Forest's fixtures, but I think their games are better away than they are at home, weirdly. So you never know. They might, Luton might sneak up somehow.
You never know, yeah. I mean, so I don't care who stays.
I'm just happy with it. We seem to be easing our way out of it now. So.
Yeah.
And it's just a weird feeling, is it? Because you feel like you're so used to, like, look at the table, thinking about what's going to happen. But I just think because teams down there don't win often, two wins, and one of them against the rival, you know, a relegation rival, are just, you know.
It's massive.
They're huge. They're humongous. Because the other teams just don't win multiple games.
No, so two on the bounce, and, you know, one of them probably, you'd say, like, not an expected win last night. You know, those two wins, it's just transformative, isn't it, when you're in that tight cluster and you get your results, one or two don't go for your rivals. It makes just a massive difference. And the swing in our favour is, you know, significant.
As well, saying, yeah,
not we were, safe yet, but...
Last week we were 2 points above, and now we're eight.
Yeah.
That's just huge. That's
huge
colossal.
Yeah.
Because those teams down there, they just don't win. We were one of those teams.
Yeah. But, you know, we've managed to do it when it counts.
Yeah, and there's really a lot of factors in that, isn't there? You know, I mean, I feel like the players at one point, they did hit a wall, you know. You really did.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And I think, you know, physically and mentally, because of everything that was going on. It's, you know, it's not hard being an Everton fan or an Everton player or working for Everton, you know, anything. Just the club has just been real. Oh, like yeah, you said, basket case the last 2-3 years, you know.
We should probably talk about that as well. I mean, you know, you talk about everything that's going on. Obviously, we talked about the points at length, but there's yet more stuff about 777 going around over the last couple of days. So conflicting reports, like Deloitte supposedly being tasked with finding, depending on which story you read, according to the New York Times, tasked with just finding us new investors / buyers, according to BBC, tasked with finding investments on for 777, which just seems bizarre if that's the case, that we're asking Deloitte to find investment for 777. You know, it speaks volumes, doesn't it? They've not found their own investment, their own source of income, and now we're asking someone to do it on their behalf so they can take us over. You know, it's just so, it's fucking farcical, this whole 777 partners thing. 7 fucking months with no clarity whatsoever, really. No indication whether they can actually fund it. Now we've got us looking for funds for them or looking for other buyers. You know, it's just, I'm fucking sick of it. We need this sorted one way or the other, don't we? None of us really want, you know, I hope there's someone
The problem is it's a catch-22 as well, because they've now sucked $200 million in, haven't they? So it's almost like if they don't take over, then it's an issue as well, you know?
Yeah.
So that might be why they're doing that, because there's two prongs to it. There's, if they don't take over, there's the issue with the loans. We owe them loan, you know, as well as the other loans we owe. And also, there's a possibility if somebody else came in, it'd be another protracted process. You know what I mean? And we just can't afford that at the moment. Don't really want 777, but at the end of the day, I just feel like, and I don't really know if they've got the money, because it's like counter-briefing and briefing, isn't it, all the time?
Mm.
Obviously, if it's taken this long, they haven't got the money. But on the other hand, we need some kind of clarity by the summer because of there's contract situations for the manager, the players, players selling players. Because currently we've got like a skeleton board, you know, no leadership from the top. The owner is AWOL. Do you know what I mean? So the whole thing needs clarity, like you said, and leadership and certainty before next season. We can't carry on with this. Like you said, it's like, it either needs to, I've been saying this for months, but like it either needs to be agreed or rejected. Just, you know, make a decision. The problem is, I think Mashiri's just made his bed. He wants them to take it over. I think it's because the deal suits him. That's what it is. And I think,
well, if it's not going to happen, ultimately, you know, he'll want to find a better deal. And you mentioned, like, you know, if someone else came in now or soon, that it'd be another protracted saga, which it wouldn't necessarily be if it's someone who's more transparent and has the funding and a proper plan in place. You
possible.
Know, it can be done within weeks, you know, like a few short weeks. I mean, look how quickly the Man United, I know it was only a partial takeover, but that was quite complicated because it was a partial takeover, and that got way through very quickly just because they could prove that they had the sources of funding.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we get someone like Radcliffe, but you know, if someone who has a clear plan in place came in, it needn't be a case of it dragging on indefinitely.
But isn't there a thing of they've had the conditional agreement, they have to show the money.
Yeah.
But then if they haven't got it's such a complicated thing. But then if they haven't got the money, then why have they been, you know, why has it been conditionally approved? It's really complicated.
But it's also conditionally approved, though, aren't they? That's the default. You know, it's conditionally approved on the proviso that you can meet certain criteria. You know, it's not a case of no, but if you prove you can do these things, then you can take this club over. It's the opposite. You know, the assumption is that they can take the club over as long as they meet these criteria. So these criteria, you know, these four things that they've sort of put down as like a final test for them, you know, that's they've always been the case, really.
There's been a few rumours. There's rumours of that they're trying to sell a couple of their other clubs to fund it.
Yeah, Standard Liège, but that wouldn't be enough, I don't think.
No, and what's it on Red Star or something as well? No, possibly not. But then I suppose if you've got cash, you can loan more cash, can't you? But it's all loans, isn't it? It's all it's loans to top of loans. It's madness.
Which has been a problem for us for so long now. But, you know, loans with dodgy companies rather than proper banks.
The fact we're, you know, I won't speak too soon, but it looks, you know, likely that we're going to stay up. It does give us hope that, like you said, either someone else will come in or... I think if 777 are going to take over, they're going to have someone coming in as a partner who's got wealth.
Yeah.
You know, that's the point, isn't it, really?
But I wouldn't be surprised, like I said. As
maybe what could happen is that they could come in with someone else and then the other people take over eventually.
Yeah. As I was going to say, I said the other day, now that we're looking like we might be safe, I wouldn't be surprised to see some genuine sort of interest and activity, because lots of people may have been looking and thinking, well, we're not going to show our hand until we know where they're going to be.
Yes.
If they're going to be a Championship club or a Premier League club. But once we're looking more secure, I wouldn't be surprised if there was rival bids. But, you know, we'll see in the coming weeks.
Think about it. I know we've got a lot of debt, but we've got a stadium coming. We've got playing assets. You know what I mean? I think if we'd have gone down, there would have been a genuine possibility. I'm not saying there's no possibility of administration now, but if we'd have gone down, I would have been genuinely worried about it. But when you're in the Premier League, there's always somebody who will be interested. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. As you say, you know, with the stadium, that's a massive asset. And just being a Premier League club is a huge investment.
And what we could start doing for players now is saying to them, oh, this is where you're going to play in a year's time. You know what I mean? That's quite a... That could be a, you know, attractive thing for players, certain players, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But we'll have to see, I suppose, in the next few weeks what happens with that.
It's like everything with Everton, it takes forever.
Yeah.
Even our points deduction appeal took forever.
Yeah.
Whereas Forest was just like, you know, a few months, you know.
Yeah, in and out, yeah.
Ours was like months. It was 3 or 4 months.
It's like 14 weeks, I think.
Yeah, even the second one was much quicker as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They were quick enough to take two more points off. They were quick enough to take two more points off us.
Yeah, but they're fast-tracking the appeal on that, so it'll be, you know, heard. Well, the verdict will be out before the end of the season, so, you know, possibly that'll be in another point back or possibly 2 points back, who knows.
Well, Forrest are hearing theirs as well, aren't they, this week?
I think theirs was heard on Wednesday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think.
That'll come out in a couple of weeks. But they're only asking for 1 point back, so I don't know. I don't think it would make much difference anyway.
No.
I don't think they'll get it anyway. I think they got off quite lightly, to be honest.
Yeah.
They're just trying, aren't they? And you would try.
Yeah, if you're going down, you may as well go down swinging, mightn't you? And, you know, try and grab onto anything as you fall.
At least we haven't had the nightmare situation, you know, we talked about before. You know, a week after the season, two appeals going on, etc.
That would have just been ridiculous for everyone involved. That would have been an absolute...
I'm glad they saw sense a bit on that.
Yeah.
But I still think points deductions are ridiculous anyway. And we got 2 in 1 season, I just think.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's what makes this win more sweet. It's like we've been through some real shit, you know.
Yeah.
And to get that win at the end, it's just like, wow, you know, yeah. Because I'm not saying it's the be all and end, you know, end all, but like we've been waiting so long for it, and also the struggle we've had as a club and fan base.
Yeah. Against that backdrop, yeah, it mattered even more. Absolutely.
There's very few times in football, especially as an Everton fan in recent years, where you could actually enjoy it.
Yeah.
And that was one of them.
like you said, you know, this is the first time since we started doing this podcast that we've been able to do one in pretty much entirely positive circumstances, because things have been so bad that we've had so little to celebrate. Certainly any sustained level of, you know, consecutive wins or whatever, other than the, you know, that brilliant run in December. You know, it makes a massive change just to be able to talk about the team, maybe not the club as such, but the team in pretty much completely positive terms.
It's almost like having sort of manic depression in a way, because it's like your mood swings, you know, on Everton are just... I mean, last week I was telling my mum about, you know, after the 6-0 and stuff, I was saying, well,
you know, if we, she was going on about, oh, well, if you go down, you know, you go down, that's that. I was like, well, there's a bit more to it.
Yeah.
The club might not exist. And yeah. She was like, what, you know? So it's like people don't really understand. And it's like they don't understand, like, how it's not just the losing a match or whatever as well. It's like they're just the like existential dread of it.
Yeah.
Been for like, and it's not just this season. It's been for 3 years.
It's been going for so long, you know, it takes a fucking toll, doesn't it? Like that, I don't know if you read that thing I wrote on Substack about the impact it has on like your overall sort of well-being. You know, it stops being something you do for enjoyment. It's just another life stress, and a massive one in our case, because it's been going on for so long. The impact it has is fucking horrible.
Mental impact has on mental health, and
yeah, totally.
You know, I found myself at parts in the last 2 or 3 years just like really depressed and despair about Everton, really, you know.
Which and is quite the sad. Reason why it means so much having nights like last night.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we need them. Why you need to like savour those moments, because they don't come along very often. And like, especially after the 6-0, I was just feeling sad, really, you know. I was just feeling sad about the club. I wasn't even feeling like, you know, like the last 2 years with the relegation fights and everything, being like anxiety and stress and stuff. About, you know, possibly going down. But this one, it just felt like sad, because everything about the club is just was just sad.
Yeah, although I will say, like, after that Chelsea win, as you know, horrific as it was, it did feel to me more like, you know, you will occasionally have awful games in football, and it felt more like that than, like, you know, heavy defeats in the past. It felt like very much indicative of the overall picture of the team. That felt like a really bad blip, you know, as bad as it was a terrible performance on every level. But it did feel like just one of those awful nights that you sometimes get in football, and you have to accept that you will sometimes have them, rather than it being an indication of where we truly are. You know, this whole season, maybe I would just say, has felt different to me, you know, like the Lampard season, the Benitez season.
Yeah.
They felt very different to this one, you know, even with the point, I mean, you know, we've talked about Dyche a lot. You know how highly I rate him, you know, with some valid criticisms, obviously, but it's never felt to me like he wasn't completely in control. Even the terrible run that we've been on, it's felt a bit different this season.
I agree. And he has.
I've been worried, but it's not been quite the same as the last two. It's more the off-the-field stuff for me this season.
The injustice of the points deduction, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's and the then the Forest thing
for me this season that have been
that's what I mean. I wasn't just talking about, like, you know, just on the field. It's just connecting it to everything else. You know what I mean? Like a sadness about where the club has gone. You know what I mean? In the last years, and then the protracted takeover, and that just doesn't seem to be, even like whatever way it goes, it doesn't seem like a good thing. So
yeah,
it's like there's no good answer on it. But apart from
end in sight to it either.
Yeah, apart from like a Saudi billionaire coming in, but I just can't see it because of the debt. But then, like you said, because it looks like we might stay up, it might be more possible that somebody else comes in. But anyway, parking all that, but it just felt like and also the combination of the one win in 15, I think. That's what was getting me down, I think.
Yeah.
But like, I do agree that Dyche, for this situation, and like as a personality, he has been sort of, like you said, other managers would have sunk under this situation. Mm. And he has shown how strong he is as a, you know, mentality and as a coach, in terms of like making us hard team to play against most of the time anyway.
Yeah. With the odd collapse, you know, but that will always.
I think the frustration with Dyche sometimes is like I said to you last time, is like, it's both his strength, is his, like, you know, his stubbornness and his the way he sort of, you know, molds a team into this like really, you know, difficult to beat outfit, but also his, like, you know, inability to, you know, make subtle changes. But then in recent times, I think he has shown he can do that. So
yeah.
And I think some of it is to do with the players he's got, you know. They're not perfect players, and the squad is very thin, and there's a lack of flair in there, isn't there? So
yeah.
I think there's an element of that with Dyche, is that I know a lot of people make jokes about his style of football, and I have as well, you know, calling it dinosaur tactics and stuff like that. But I think some of it with Dyche is like, it depends on the players he's got.
Well, yeah, but that has to be the case with all coaches. You can only work with what you've got. It's no good being like an athlete about football. You've got to get the best out of what you've got.
No, I've never been somebody who's like, like a purist, we have to play, beautiful football. I'm fine with mixing it up. I'm fine with battling. You know, like I said to you, in the 90s, that's what we did. You know,
yeah.
Last night, I'm fine with that style of football. Yeah. I just think sometimes you need a bit more quality, but we haven't got it, have we? Or you need to, I don't know, change something slightly when you're on a real bad run, you know. But, you know, credit to him. He's like you said, if we hadn't had the dock points, we would have been pretty comfortable. And at the start of the season, we did say, where would we finish? And I think we said 14th. So
I think, we said we were hoping for 14th, you know, and that we'd be very happy with it. We're not in real terms is where we'd be.
Yeah, so you have to give him credit. And like I said before, I give him credit because he's basically been like a wartime manager in a shitstorm, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, the squad has got real deficiencies, you know. Even though they all stood up last night, there is a real... You know, we're reliant on certain players, aren't we? It's like when Bantite was like looking injured, that's an issue.
Yeah.
Mikalenko, we've got no other left back with a left foot, you know. If Dom's injured, you know, obviously better with getting knocked out and stuff, he's not available. But, you know, we basically got a kid in Chimiti knocking him up now. You know what I mean? The depth is very weak, and then the lack of creativity. You know, we've got a number 10, like you said, who's...
Can't pass the ball.
No, he's more of an athlete, really. He's a midfielder. He's an eight. He's a number eight. That's what he is, really. But he's done a job. And to be fair to him, he has, you know, at times he stood up and he's...
Yeah.
Like, just that tweak of... Yeah, just that tweak of maybe leaving Onana out. It's like I'm saying to you last night, people are moaning about Onana being out. But it's like, well, if he doesn't fit the system and he hasn't performed, then he doesn't deserve to start, you know? Yeah, just because he's worth... 70 million or whatever. If you don't perform,
he's not performing.
And I feel like there has been an element of he's just been in the team sometimes because we've had no one else or, you know, he's Onana, so he's got to be in the team, you know.
Yeah.
But I think there's something about I think he has got so much potential on Onana that he's going to be playing the Champions League and he's going to be a great player. But I just think there's something about him where he believes his own hype almost.
Yeah, he gets a bit carried away.
Yeah, and I think there's also...
The idea of himself.
Yeah, there's a thing of the situation, isn't there? Certain players suit different games. I mean, last night he wouldn't have been... Because he just does not... He has not got the legs to get all around the pitch like that, like Garner and James Garner do.
Yeah.
So, and also, I don't think he's been that great on the ball. So, like, bringing in Gomez has just been, like, a different... You know, it's been a different dimension, hasn't it? Because he can...
And he can maybe come in on Saturday, you know, talk about possible changes. Maybe he'll bring him back in, either to give someone a rest or just to say, you know, this is a game where you can maybe thrive, so...
Yeah, because what he can do... I think the frustration with Onana is, like... Because he is a kid at the end of the day still. He's like early 20s still. But the frustration with him is, he's like, you look at his physical attributes and everything... And you just think you could, like, dominate this whole team, you know, this whole game. And he doesn't really.
No, not
yet. Then he is more of a number six. He's more of a number six. And when you see him play for Belgium around, like, pace and stuff, and he plays that pivot role, a counter-attack, he looks amazing.
Yeah.
So I think it's partly just the system. He doesn't suit the system either, really, in a way.
I'm sure he'll play as part, you know, in the last few games. Yeah. We came off the bench last night.
I just think sometimes you don't deserve to start, do you?
Yeah, of course. Or like you say, the system doesn't fit, the occasion doesn't fit or whatever. You're not entitled to start every game. No one is.
I know. No, he didn't start because he didn't perform against Chelsea. I know the others didn't perform, but he
was particularly bad.
And also it's like, how do you set up a midfield? And I think that's something we have struggled a little bit with at times. It's like, who sits where, and because sometimes we've had Garner and James Garner and Onana in there playing basically the same position, playing as two number sixes. Like when you looked at their average position, they're basically playing on top of each other.
And also then you got Decore, who's playing more like a second striker, whereas, you know, in the last two games, he's like dropped in more, which has made it more of a three in there and given us more flexibility.
A bit more protection as well,
Yeah, where like Idrissa can push on as well, because he can play a number eight as well, you know, so it's just finding that balance in it sometimes. And because we don't have loads of flair, I think the midfield is like a key.
Yeah.
A key thing, really.
Yeah. Well, you know, we found that balance when it's sort of really mattered in the last two games, and hopefully a win on Saturday, you know, puts the season to bed in terms of anything to worry about.
Can we just briefly mention our remaining fixtures before we finish?
Yeah, we've got Brentford.
I know we did, but talk about Brentford.
On Saturday, and then Luton away on Friday, a week tomorrow. Yeah. And certainly you would think, even if we don't win on Saturday, avoiding defeat at Luton would probably wrap it up mathematically, you know, take away any realistic chance. And then after that, it's another one, another home one, Sheffield United, I think, isn't it? And then Arsenal away. So we don't want to be going into the last couple of weeks having something to play for, as we've had to endure the last two seasons. We want it wrapped up, I'd say, by Friday at the latest. Hopefully, well, Saturday.
Yeah, if we could get a win Saturday, I think that is it wrapped up.
Then we relax,
But I, like you said, I think if we can get a win in the next three, it shouldn't be, or even, you know, a couple of draws, I think we'll be fine. But I fancy us to beat Sheffield United at home.
I
don't think they're going to be.
No, they're terrible.
They're gone, aren't they? They're gone.
Yeah, completely.
And like you said, the Luton one was going to be a must not lose. And it still is, in a way.
Yeah, because even just not losing would be enough, even if we get beat on Saturday.
Yeah, because Brentford are no mugs. I know we've beaten them already this season, but they've stepped up a little bit. Yeah. And also, they're probably, they're on 35, so they're safe. They've got that, like, you know, no pressure.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand,
like we have the last two, then.
Yeah. On the other hand, playing teams at home where they've actually attacked us actually suits us.
Yeah, it does.
Like, when we play teams like at home, move, like, when we lost that run of home games to teams like Luton and, you know, various others, when they just sat in as a block and then picked, you know, like, picked their moments, that's when we struggled.
Yeah.
Whereas when, like, Forest, that's why Forest, I felt, would suit us, because they do attack, you know. And then they left gaps for us, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
and what I thought was quite interesting in the Forest game as well as Decore dropping in, was McNeil was like sort of cutting in and becoming like a number 10 almost.
Yeah, he was obviously given license to drift in, wasn't he?
And yeah.
You know, bought dividends, you know, brilliant second goal.
Yeah, so basically we want to hope that we get like, hopefully a couple of results, but like one win at least in this next three to get it over the line.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, I think Luton are going to, I don't think Luton are going to beat Wolves anyway, but, you know, to make it mathematical.
Mm.
We'd be 8 points ahead. So, yeah, I think really one win, isn't it, will be.
Yeah, well, if we win Saturday and they lose, I think that's mathematically safe on Saturday.
Which isn't achievable when we had 8 points taken off us, because, like, 8 points, I mean, really, for a team like us, that is just a huge.
Yeah, to overcome that is.
It's monumental, and it shows the spirit of the club, which is, I think, the thing about Everton that a lot of other people who don't understand Everton is, it's the spirit of the club and the fans. It's the, like, the biggest, it's one of the biggest, probably the biggest thing, really.
Yeah.
Because, you know. It just is, really. And it's what makes the club special, I think.
Yeah, and it showed in nights like last night.
Yeah. And the Forest game as well, you know. And the last two seasons as well. We've dug them out, you know. There's been times the last two seasons where I thought we were gone. What was it? We were 5 points. I think was it the Lampard season?
The Lampard half season, yeah.
Were we like 5 points drift?
I think at one point, yeah.
Was it when Burnley beat us?
I think it was, yeah. And then
I'm getting it all mixed up in my mind now.
A couple of big wins like Man United and Chelsea at home.
I thought we were gone then. Yeah, yeah. But that's when I'm not saying the players didn't put it in, but you have to say that the crowd, the fan base mobilised and kept us up as well.
Yeah.
Pickford had amazing,
pivotal, yeah.
Amazing run of games, and also Richarlison dragged us over. Apparently, he was injured during that whole period.
He was, yeah. He had a like hip injury, could barely walk.
It's crazy when you think about it. There's a lot of players would just not like play.
Yeah,
he just loved the club so much that he. And that just shows you, doesn't it? Like, you know, I know it's a whole cliche, you know, once Everton's touched you and all that, but it's true in a way.
There's truth to it. Yeah.
Not for every player, you know, like Ashley.
No, enough have said it. Enough players have said it, you know, that I think it shows there's a lot of truth to it.
Yeah, there is a sort of, I know Liverpool fans often go on about the romance of Liverpool and all that, but I feel like there is a kind of romance about Everton as like a spiritual, you know, sort of, I don't know, heartbeat of football almost, like, you know, we don't win things, but we're like a.
There's just, yeah, know. There's something about the club. You've got to
There is yeah. something magical at times. And it, yeah. as much as it can be maddening being a fan of it, it's like, there are moments like where you just think, there's no other club on earth like this, like where we could be just so, like the depths of despair, like literally, like, you know.
And then flip to euphoria within.
Yeah, and also like days. Survive things that like other clubs wouldn't be able to survive. Like,
yeah.
Like, it's just this shit that we've had, like, where not just the points, but like, the years of having to sell all of our best players, you know, and really, and like, I know people go on about like sporting advantage and all that bullshit, but it's like, we've had to like sell most of our best players. Yeah. And then we got an 8-point deduction on top of that. And we still fucking
stayed. We're still fighting.
I shouldn't say we stayed up, but you know, we still, you know, we're near to it. And we've also in the last 2 years stayed up as well. You know, it's just like.
Yeah.
When you think about it, there's no other club that would, like, shit we've had, like, you know. I'm not saying other clubs don't suffer, but it just, especially this season, it's been like, I've just got low tolerance for, like, Man United fans whinging about where they are and all of that now.
People
just
don't know what suffering is.
Now I'm just like, well, try being an Everton fan. How long would you last?
Yeah.
How long would you last for this shit? There's a lot of entitlement, isn't there, being a net football fan these days? I don't know, a lot of my friends, they go, oh, you know, who aren't, like, they don't support a Premier League club or whatever. They're just like, oh, you know, don't worry about it. It's just the Premier League, blah, blah. You know, why are you worried? Just still stay up, blah, 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 blah. But it's like, you just don't realise the madness of this club.
Yeah.
Like, Mashiri came in 8 years ago, or 9 years, whenever it was. And, like, we thought we were going to be something, and we just ended up being, like, just our lowest point, really, you know?
Yeah.
But and we've still survived.
We have clung on, and we're clinging on still.
We shall not be moved,
yeah. So I think we should probably leave it there, and I think maybe come back in a week or so when hopefully we are completely safe, and then we can look forward to, you know, the summer and think about where we go from this point.
Yeah. And you don't want to think about who's leaving yet.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I'd say that's a whole part, isn't it? You know, Dyche's future, players' future and stuff. But for now, I think we just sort of enjoy the last couple of wins that we've had. Hopefully look forward to a couple more coming up and then
have a summer off and wait until next season when it's going to be even harder.
Yeah.
Because you've got Leicester coming up and Leeds. Oh, they'll want revenge.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, you're right, yeah. Try and see. Hopefully we get a few results and just stay up and we can enjoy the summer and then see what happens with this takeover, the players and everything, the manager.
Okay. All right, well, good to reconvene. It's been a while, so hopefully we'll make it a bit sooner next time. Maybe do one in a week or so, as I say. And until then, thanks for listening. Anyone that's tuned in, and up the fucking toffees.
Up the toffees. Bye.